So let's talk about porn. The internet has made it easier than ever to access, especially for young people. Around 80% of teens have seen some kind of porn online, intentionally or not. In the absence of sex ed, many adults worry that porn can teach kids unrealistic and even dangerous expectations about sex and consent. Just 24 states and the District of Columbia require sex education be taught in schools. But there's one program that's trying to change that. For the past 3 years, the Boston Health Commission has offered a course on porn literacy to teenagers participating in its peer leadership program, Start Strong. Here's Jess Adler, one of the creators of the program.
Sex education is not mandated in the majority of the country, and so our young people are turning to the resources that exist, and porn is a resource for them. So we thought we might as well explore some of the messages that are being taught.
Christina Quinn is a reporter from WGBH in Boston, and she's been reporting on the porn literacy course. She joined me to talk about how porn is shaping kids' views on sex and what educators can do to address it.
There's a growing amount of research looking at this, and, you know, some of the concerns are around how it shapes kids' ideas of what is a relationship, what's normal sexual behavior. And, you know, if you look at mainstream porn, a lot of it is, if not violent, really aggressive. And, you know, for some people who know that this is an introduction to really young people, they're concerned that this is influencing kids' perceptions and behaviors as to what is acceptable in a sexual relationship.
Now, what do we know? I mean, I was just talking to someone about how 20, 30, 40 years ago, accessing pornography was not an easy thing for a lot of folks to do. How about today? How many young people are watching porn?
That's a good question in the sense that it's just so accessible. It's really common for a kid once they turn, you know, 12, even 10 years old to get their own smartphone. And even if you're a parent, you know, and you set up these safety guards in the phone, it's still pretty easy to access porn online. And there's free online porn all over the internet. And so it's really not hard for a kid to stumble upon it. So as for numbers, it's unclear, but there is research there that says about 80% of teenagers between 14 and 18 have watched porn, whether or not they intended to. So it's a good chunk of the population.
So you've done reporting on a porn literacy program, and I'd love for you to just explain what that is and who's behind it and who the target audience is for this.
Sure. So the porn literacy program is out of Start Strong, which is a program through the Boston Public Health Commission. The whole idea of Start Strong is it's a peer leadership program where they're basically getting kids to talk about dating violence prevention and just talking about healthy relationships and what that looks like and just having a really good open conversation about that. And so there's one element to this Start Strong initiative here in Boston where they have a program called Porn Literacy. So the program started when Emily Rothman, who is a professor of public health at Boston University School of Public Health, and she went just, you know, a couple doors down to the Boston Public Health Commission's down there to talk with these kids. And she just wanted to talk to them about healthy relationships. And they really weren't that interested in talking about healthy relationships when you sort of frame it that way. But then she asked them about porn, and then suddenly everyone wanted to talk. And in that first instance, they learned a lot about these teenagers and their viewing habits and what they're finding online and what they're talking about. And so she and Nicole Daly, who at the time was the head of the program, the Start Strong program at the Boston Public Health Commission, and then Jess Alder, who's featured in my story, they built a curriculum as to how to talk to kids about their habits around pornography. And these kids meet every week after school. And when I say kids, these are teenagers. They're in high school. A lot of them start out maybe when they're sophomores, freshmen, sophomores, and then they finish the program when they're seniors. And they meet every week. And it's about 8 to 9 weeks long. And they have just really frank, open discussions about sexually explicit media, specifically about porn and how it shapes their peers' perceptions and expectations when they're in, you know, when they're engaging in sex or some sort of relationship. And so, yeah, they have really, really fascinating conversations.
What about parents or anyone else who might have had any pushback to this? Because I can imagine parents who might be saying, you know, this really isn't the place for my child, whether they're a teenager or not a teenager, to be exposed to this, to learn this. Was there any pushback?
No, they actually found that parents were enthused about it. They were glad that they were having these conversations. And, you know, they're not promoting watching porn. They actually have a pretty neutral stance. They're not pro-porn or anti-porn. They just know that a lot of these kids are watching it, and they say you don't have to watch porn in order to be part of this program, because they really use this program as a vehicle to talk about healthy relationships, healthy dating, but also the messages that are sort of embedded in the media. It was sort of great to have this program sort of step up to the plate with a structured curriculum.
We have seen attempts at sort of taking pornography from the place that you described at the very top of the segment, which is where it's very aggressive and can be very violent in some instances. And we have seen attempts at changing that. And I'm just wondering, is this part of a larger trend that you're noticing?
So the Porn Literacy Program was born out of the Boston Public Health Commission's Start Strong group. And I don't think I've seen any other porn literacy programs pop up in other local, you know, public health agencies. However, since they launched this program, there have been several people who were interested, you know, educators, school administrators, social workers who wanted to know about porn literacy and how they can train their own faculty or their own staff to address this problem, because they see this as a growing thing, as a growing problem. And so they're trying to figure out how to do it in their own schools or in their own communities. So as a result, these three women who started this porn literacy program are now conducting training seminars. And I think so far in just the last 6 months or so, they've had over 200 people attend. And they've had a few training seminars. So it is growing in popularity in the sense that people want to know how to have these conversations.
What are the students saying?
Well, it was really great talking to these students who were in this program. They were so articulate, and it was really just, it was great hearing them have these conversations about messages in media, whether it's advertising, you know, there's a lot of advertising that's sexy, right, or provocative, and then how that sort of connects to, you know, the messages in porn, and how that translates into what it's like when they're making out with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And so one girl in particular named Kara, she was saying, you know, when I first started this course, you know, I thought, like, when I talked about porn with my friends, we were kind of like, you know, giggled, and, you know, it was just like this taboo thing, like, ooh, you know, porn. And then afterwards, she said that it really just sort of peeled back the curtain for her.
Learning about porn instead of taking it for face value and actually learning that that's not realistic, and, like, I don't have to like the fact that, like, what you're matching up and trying to do in porn is not okay because I don't like it, and learning that that's okay definitely stuck with me a lot because it makes me more confident regarding even just conversations around sex.
She really benefited from it.
Christina Quinn is a reporter from WGBH in Boston. Christina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tanzina.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.